In John 15, verse 5, I read it first in the New King James, which says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And that's the version I'm so familiar with reading that it really didn't impact my heart. And so I went and I read it in a couple other versions. And so I'd like to share those with you right now. The next one that I read, I literally read the Passion Translation next. And that's a new translation that captures the Passion of Our Father. And verse 5 says, I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Well, that spoke to me a lot more because it's talking about that union and him being my source completely. And yet then I also saw that if you live separated from me, you're powerless. That really was good. But then I went to the Message Bible. And the Message Bible actually says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Okay? So what stood out to me was that I was to be joined with him and him with me. And as a result, it says the relation would be intimate and organic. Now, intimate and organic, it just went and it just started me on all sorts of different thoughts. And so I'd like to share some of those with you this evening. Jesus used agriculture. He used all sorts of terms that were about plants and crops because that was the main way of having a living in that day, a large number of people at least. The people then were used to being with examples like that. They were used to growing their own crops. And so they were used to those ideas, and I just believe that Jesus wanted to meet them right where they were at with something they could understand. Now, my husband has a garden that he plants every year, and I know that probably some of you have flowers or you do something somewhere that you know something about plants. You have some idea about how plants grow. But I think tonight he just wants you to begin to think about that in terms with your own relationship growing with him. He meant for us to live in union with him. And he planned for us to be joined and connected to him as a family that would live together forever. And yet, too often, that's not the way we may have gotten it from when we were growing up in church or other examples or people we lived with. We may have gotten something less than what it means to be intimately and closely connected or organically connected. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, the word garden in Hebrew means to be fenced, hedged, about, and protected. So God put Adam and Eve in a place where he believed they would be in a good, safe place to have a relationship with him. And he was going to take care of them. He was providing everything that they had need of. He was their ultimate source. And yet at one point, Adam and Eve got deceived, and they began to think for themselves separate from him, and they chose to rely on self, they chose to rely on their own thoughts, and they disconnected from him. Everything changed at that point. Why? Because they no longer were looking to him as the source. Now, I can't tell you that this originated with me, but there is a man that I am associated with by the name of Larry Napier with Rediscovery of the Heart. And he is the one that gave me this analogy. And God said, yeah, you need to use this tonight. So for all of you tuning in, as well as those here, I have one of those strip power sources that you can plug multiple electronic or whatever needs electricity into this. Okay? And yet, here's the plug. Well, Adam and Eve, after they chose to do it their way, it was like Adam and Eve plugging into a power source. Who's the power source? Us. It's like plugging into self and saying, I'll take care of everything from here on out. And ultimately, we have no ability to have the power within ourselves to live life on our own. We were made to receive nourishment from outside of ourselves. We were never meant to be our own power source. And so when you plug into yourself, that puts so much pressure on self, because self has to come up with all the answers. Self has to figure it out. Self has to supply what is needed. And too often, we can be too self-reliant, too self-sufficient, because ultimately, what God meant for us to be is He is the power source, and we can plug into Him. If we plug into Him, then no matter how many different things that we are having to deal with in our lives, we can plug into one source, Him, and He'll show us how He'll supply everything we have need of, whether it's financially, emotionally, socially, whether it's with your job, whether it's with your family relationships. He can supply everything. But if you're only plugging into you, you are very limited. So I hope you won't forget that you were never meant to be your own self-contained power source. You see, God meant and has always wanted to be our everything. And yet that last part of the verse in John 15, it says, separated, you can't produce a thing. I believe that that is so important that we not forget. We take nourishment from outside of ourselves. Babies have to nurse. Babies have to get food from outside. We have to eat meals every day. We have to eat food every day, or we're not going to have the energy to have our bodies function. We can't sustain ourselves. And yet our society is prone to thinking they can sustain themselves in many ways. And ultimately, it's exhausting, and it'll wear us out, and we will not have the energy. But I believe there are some reasons why we draw back, and we disconnect, so to speak. We disconnect from Him, the true power source, because of shame, guilt, pride, thinking we know best, the self-sufficiency and self-reliance that I already mentioned. Those are all things that the enemy gets us to believe, that he has said, oh, you can't go to God now because you've done this or that or the other thing and you're just wrong and he's not going to be able to forgive you. And those are all lies that the enemy has gotten each of us to believe from time to time, myself included. There are times when I need to run to God, but instead I'm prone to saying, oh my gosh, I didn't do that again. I did the same thing again, whatever it is. And so we disconnect from that true power source. And yet He's right there. But He's such a gentleman. He will not force His will on us. He won't usurp our will, no matter how much He wants to help. You see, I really believe that until He gave us the freedom to say no, that we could choose whether we wanted to be connected to Him or not. If we don't have an authentic no, if we don't have the freedom to say no, then we have no authentic yes. Because our yes can only be authentic when we have chosen to say, yes, I choose you as my source. And there's lots of people out there in the world who may start off choosing God, but then they get sidetracked and they never realize that their no is what's stopping God from being able to help. I'm not sure how many of you may have seen The Shack at this point in time, but it's a powerful movie. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to go see it, because it talks about there that Matt, the main character, was free to leave whenever he chose to. Mm-hmm. Nobody was forcing him to do anything. True love only comes out of the freedom to love. And if you're forced to love someone, it's not true love. So it requires us recognizing that it's all about our free choice to choose Him. But the minute we choose Him, the minute He's there to help us. Jesus was a great example of what it means to recognize what it means to be dependent. A little child depends on their parents for everything. A baby especially cannot do a thing for itself. And yet it's not feeling badly that it can't. It just lets the parent do what it needs. Well, Jesus humbled Himself like a little child and depended on His Father to walk this earth as a human being, rather than out of His deity, rather than out of where He had been for eternity past. He chose to humble Himself. And He said He could do nothing without His Father. And so, can we recognize that if Jesus had to depend on His Father, how much more should we? How much more should we be willing to say, okay, I can't do this, and I want You to be the one that does it for me? The idea of being one with us, that is something He wants us to see, that it's meant to be just a flow of life. When a child sucks on that mother's breast, it's not doing it just because it thinks it's a good thing to do. No, it's getting nourishment. And so it just encourages that child to continue to take the nourishment. Well, how much more do all of us need to do that? We need to be able to say, okay, I got some yesterday, but that doesn't mean I got what I need today. So I don't want to emphasize it too much, but I am convinced that Jesus knew that he only was going to walk this earth as he depended on the Father. But he also knew that he was never separated from him. And nothing could separate him from the love of God. I'm not going to read it, but Romans 8:31 through 39 talks about that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Height, depth, width, breadth, the bad things, the good things, the persecutions, anything, nothing could separate us. And that's the way Jesus knew. So even in those tough times, we can know that God's going to be there for us. And what does that cause? That causes rest. When we can rest in his love, that's the place where we can depend on him and no longer on self. Because we're letting him be our big papa. We're letting him be our big father. And we're not trying to do something on our own. That's the place where intimacy and closeness starts. And when the relationship becomes more secure and solid because of that time, just in that place of rest receiving from him. So ultimately what I'm saying is, separated, you may have the source dry up. But connected, you're constantly able to receive what you need for that moment. It says in that verse that I shared with you from John 15:5 that it says the relation, intimate and organic. And he said, okay, I want you to talk more about intimate because the organic is the part that had really got my attention. And he says, no, yeah, got to get the first part first. And so I said, intimate, what does that mean? And he says, well, we've said intimate means intimacy. He wants us to see into him, and he wants to be able to see into us. That means no walls, no roof, nothing separating. But Jesus referred to himself as the vine, and we're the branches. Okay, so that's a very organic thing. I didn't bring one of my plants in that's alive that's out in the other room, but ultimately, the plant has branches on it. And ultimately, that's just who we are. But the branch can't live without being connected to the rest of the plant. And when we choose to try and live that way, then there is nothing that's going to be life-giving, and it's not going to be intimate, to say the least. I want to read out of the Passion Translation the first four verses that come before verse 5, because this shows us just how wonderful of a good father and a loving gardener that's going to take care of us we really have. In verses 1 through 4, it's in the Passion Translation, I am like a sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the branches that are fruitless and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words that I've spoken over you have already cleansed you. So step into life union with me, for I have stepped into life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Okay, life with another person is meant to be enjoyable. Now, we all have challenges with relationships here on earth because we're imperfect human beings. But a relationship with the God of the universe, the relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are perfect love and in perfect unity, that's a sweet, intimate relationship where they're only going to be valuing you. They're only going to be affirming you. And I love how it says, because most of the translations don't talk about this, but it literally in the Greek phrase can mean to prop up, to get the branches up off the ground so that they get the light, they get out of the dust and the dirt, and they get up where they can receive life and light. He's translating this in a way that's actually possible where the plant is just being lifted up and propped up so those branches that are weak and struggling can get the life they need. I just really think that's a beautiful picture of how much he wants to be there to care for us. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, the word abide means to stay in a given place, to remain, to stay permanently, to dwell, or to be at home. I've heard it say, yeah, abide means to be at home. Well, when you're at home, you're relaxed. When you're at home, you're able to put your feet up. You're able to be relaxed. You're able to just enjoy being there. You don't have to perform or do something, hopefully. But unfortunately, many of us grew up in homes where you did. you did have to do something in order to be valued. But God's home, all you have to do is be his daughter, be his son, and be at home. He's already chosen to have that relationship with you. So now it's our choice. When we choose him, then he begins to draw us. And he told me to go to Hosea 11, verse 4. And I love this. It says, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and I fed them. What a precious image of when we choose him, what he wants to do for us. Do we let him, though? Do we give him the privilege? Are we independent and self-sufficient that we can do it ourselves? I mean, sometimes as kids are growing up, they want to be able to do things on their own, and that's absolutely a good thing. But when it comes to wanting to take over all the details of my life, I'm more prone now than ever to wanting to ask him to do it for me. It's a lot better way to live. The abiding is not a work that I do, but it's a consenting to let him do all for me. Our part, what's my part and your part? It's to yield, to trust, to wait in quiet expectation and confidence. It's entrusting myself to eternal love and life to keep me. That's a part of I picked up from Andrew Murray. He didn't say it quite like that, but similar. And that just really gives me the image that what's my part? But to yield like a little child. Now, maybe not knowing what I need, but he knows. Maybe not being sure that I need to do anything except just to be quiet and trust. That's what produces the confidence when we wait expectantly on him. Aligning ourselves. When you have two pieces of pipe, and you want them to have a flow of water go through them. If they're a little bit off, that water is not going to flow well because they're not lined up. But if we get those things into alignment, then you're just presenting a shape for the water to flow through. And that's what God's looking for us. Okay, can you get into alignment with me so that then I can flow through you in a way that maybe you never have had me flow through before? I believe that is what all the fruit trees and all the plants that are out there in the world are doing. They're just aligning with the system. They're not trying hard. Have you ever seen a fruit tree out there trying to say, I'm going to produce apples today. We don't have to strain. We don't have to try. We don't have to be struggling. It's really, really easy to just be an apple tree because that's who you are. Or to be a tomato plant, or whatever kind of plant or tree that seed is producing. They don't have to try hard, and therefore, in him we live and move and have our being. It's all about who he is and not us. Our identity is meant to come from him and not in what we do. Our identity is meant to come through him as he begins to reveal himself more and more to us. And so I had a friend that mentored me for several years, which I absolutely appreciated so much. Her name's Mary Lou. And if Mary Lou, if you have anybody tell you about watching this on Facebook, you just consider yourself as being honored one more time, because I don't know where I'd be today if it weren't for Mary Lou. She's the one that introduced us to the love of the Father. And then she mentored me personally for several years. And she said to me when I was really struggling one day, feeling like I wasn't growing, feeling like I wasn't doing a whole lot right, she said, so tell me, Sue, is a green apple on a tree in the month of July a problem if it's small and green? And I said, well, no, because it's not time to harvest it. She said, right. A small green apple in July is perfectly normal. And it's okay if things are small and they still don't look like they're doing real good. They're still green. They're not really edible yet. Because guess what? They need some time in the sunshine. They need some time to just develop. And he said, that's what I'm doing with each of my children. That's what Mary Lou said. That's what he's doing with you. So I take all of the pressure, any place where you're feeling pressure because your life hasn't changed yet, and just say, it's just a green apple in July. and it's just fine. Wait until September, October, when it gets to the place where it's grown and it's ready to be harvested. That will make all the difference in the world. If we can rest in His supply and care, then all we have to do is keep our heart open and aligned with Him, and all that supply will flow. It's not about us trying so hard. It's just about being in that close, intimate relationship with Him. Have you ever thought that without the branches, the vine can't do anything? And yet the vine supplies everything that the branches need. Why? So that we can grow and become the reflection and literally begin to produce the fruit that others will get to taste and see and find Him as well. We can be the ones that allow the fruit to blossom, and then we just are free to give it away. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what Rick and I are all about. Taste and see. He's so good. We just want more and more people to know how good He is. And it's not about us trying harder. It's about us being more at rest and letting Him flow through us. We're just the one through which He's flowing. I'm not going to look up the verse to read it, but Romans 11, 17 and 18 talks about how Israel were the branches of the original tree. And some of them were broken off. Why? Because they didn't want to follow Father. They were doing it their own way. And yet He grafted us in. I don't know if you've ever grafted a tree, but my husband has. And it requires making slits in that original tree just to be able to put that graft of another kind of branch. And then you splice it and wrap it and tend it. But then it can grow to be just as strong. And it looks like it's just a part of the natural tree. And yet it's producing a different kind of apple, is what He did at one point. And so recognize, I am so thankful for my Jewish brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful for all of the challenges that the Jewish race has endured over the centuries, because they are the ones that allowed us to be grafted in. And it's not us that support the root, it's the root that supports us. And so Rick and I have very strong hearts and passion for Israel and Jewish people. But I just want us to recognize as we need to be thankful and blessing Israel, as well as just recognizing we've been grafted in. We were given the opportunity to come in. And so I just really, really appreciate what He gave us the opportunity to do. Now, I want to keep going here, but He told me, He said, so what can interfere with that intimate relational growth? And He said, if you look at some plants at the bottom of trees, or tomato plants are the two that Rick and I talked about. If you've ever seen a tree that has a whole bunch of little shoots coming out of the ground, which we have some, I said to Rick, I said, what are those? And he said, well, those are called suckers. And what does a sucker do? It sucks the life and energy from the plant or the tree. It's wild growth that produces absolutely nothing. Ooh, ouch. Are there any places that I've been trying to produce something on my own that were not God's idea, that are just sort of out there not doing much that was predictive, just putting out a lot of growth that looks nice, but it's not going anywhere, and at some point it's going to die? Or it's going to keep the rest of the plant from becoming fruitful. In the point of a tomato plant, the suckers come out right at the fork between a branch and the stem. They just come out on an angle and they just put out more productive branches, but it does nothing. It doesn't allow, and it will hinder the tomato from producing more tomatoes, all because of the suckers taking the extra life. The sucker are the roots that grow from that base that where the stem and the root meet, and yet they're not from Father. They are trying to do it on their own. And so they're hindering and putting stress on the tree. That's one of the other things I read on the internet. Actually, it can stress the tree, especially if it's a place where it's dry. And the Lord showed me, any time where I try and help with my growth, I'm like a sucker that's yielding nothing but hindering what He wants to do. And it usually is all coming from self. Self thinks she knows what to do better than God. Not a good place to be. So that's sort of the intimate part. Now let's do the organic briefly, and then we'll be done. If you think about organic, that's a big term in today's society. We have organic foods and those that have pesticides and all the other things on it. But I just want to give you the definition of organic according to the dictionary. It says, derived from living organisms, food produced with the use of feed or fertilizer of plant or animal origin. In other words, they're all the things that God created. Anything that's organic is without man-made chemicals, antibiotics, pesticides, or what we call GMOs, genetically modified things. So if something is organic, it's all natural because it's what God made, and there's nothing artificial or man-made. He began to speak volumes to me about this one. I have been around the church for a long time. I have been following the Lord to the best of my understanding for many, many years. I received the Lord when I was 12. So I've been around the church scene for a long while. But I've recognized, he began to show me, that how often we try really hard to do things that we think are going to help us to grow spiritually. He said, do you realize those are just man-made formulas? You can read your Bible, you can pray, you can witness, you can fast, you can serve in the church, you can do all those things. But if it's not what Father told you to do, it's a man-made fertilizer, a man-made system to try and get you to grow rather than something that's organic. In other words, it's all the outward things that we're trying to do. It's the outward behaviors. It's going through the motions. But it's not changing our hearts. Now, if we're doing something because it's what Father's laid in our heart, then that's going to come as an organic way of doing life. But too often, we're trying to impress God by what we're doing so that somebody else sees it or makes a comment or we get kudos from somebody else rather than being more concerned about what Father says. Artificial means it's made or contrived by human skill or labor in opposition to something that's natural. God spoke to me and he said, you can do a math problem with a formula because it's something that just needs to be processed that way. But if you try and do a relationship with me through a formula, it has no heart-to-heart connection in it. It's only head-to-head. I know a lot of this book, and I know many people that know a lot of this book, but if it's not connecting your heart to his, then I'm just going to tell you it's not organic. It is man-made, it's artificial, and it's not going to have the effect that you want it to. So I asked him the other day, I said, so Father, give me an example from the scriptures of who was intimately and organic in relationship with you. Now, I had a couple others. Different individuals come to my consciousness that I could have used, but he really said, I want you to talk about the Apostle Paul. Because what was the Apostle Paul like before he had a divine encounter with God? You know, he was so radically convinced that he knew what was right, and he knew all the formulas, and he knew how to impress God, and he was following the law to the best of his ability. And yet, it really was not impacting his heart. In fact, his heart was pretty cold. He could care less about a person. He was able to go out and kill them. He was able to go out and kill Christians just because he thought that he was doing God a favor. And I'm thinking, you talk about a hard heart that was only focused on self and what he thought. It was Paul, the apostle. Saul turned to Paul. But in Galatians 1, and I want to read just a couple of verses. Verses 11 and 12, it says, this is from the Passion Translation. It says, beloved ones, let me say emphatically that the gospel entrusted to me was not given to me by any man. No one taught me this revelation, for it was given to me directly by the unveiling of Jesus Christ before my eyes. I believe anything that's organic is going to be something that he reveals to you. Revelation knowledge that he gives you, nobody can take it from you. If you've experienced something with God, that's organic. It is as organic as you get, and it's going to be something that will stay in your heart because he spoke it directly to you or he showed it to you, and nobody can take that away from you. The other verses that I want to read here are from verses 15 through 18 of the Galatians 1. But then something happened. He was talking about his zeal from the way he had persecuted Christians. But then something happened. God called me by his grace. And in love, he chose me from my birth to be his. God's grace unveiled his son in me so that I would proclaim the message of sonship to the non-Jewish people of the world. After I had this encounter, I kept it a secret for some time, sharing it with no one. And I chose not to run to Jerusalem to try and impress those who had become apostles before I did. Instead, I went away to the Arabian desert for a season until I returned to Damascus, where I'd first encountered Jesus. That says so much to me about how he was in an organic, intimate relationship with God. He didn't try to impress anybody. He didn't even look to a man to go and tell him anything. He went to God in the desert for 3 years and let God give him a brand new ability to connect with him, a brand new way of doing life, so that he could unveil the gospel of grace and proclaim the power of sonship. And that's exactly where Rick and I are at. We want everybody to realize their true identity is meant to come directly from him. Our Father is the expert gardener. He knows exactly what each one of us needs if we will simply come to him with open hearts, humble like a little child, and say, okay, Daddy, will you father me? Will you show me how to be fully, intimately connected with Jesus as the vine and I'm the branch and you're the one that's tending us? I believe he's just looking us to have that kind of a heart attitude. Now, I could talk a lot about organic matter because I know that my husband has used organic matter to compost our garden and it's gotten richer every year. He takes all of the plants and all of the leaves and all of the natural plants from our yard, and he puts them in a big bin, and they deteriorate over time, and then he puts them back into the soil. So what I would like to say specifically is that we may start out with our soil of our heart being a little bit hard. It may be full of rocks. It may be full of weed seeds. It may be all sorts of things. Now, I'm getting away a little bit from the branch, but I'm just wanting you to recognize your heart is what is meant to be the place that he is allowed to connect with. And if your heart is like the soil in that parable of the four types of soil that Jesus spoke about. And so sometimes we just have to take some time to get the soil to be more organic and natural. It may have had a lot of harsh conditions that it had to grow in. Rick and I went to the Canadian Rockies for our 45th wedding anniversary a couple years ago. And there was a little pink flower, and I didn't get it out to share that picture tonight, but that little pink flower was growing in among rocks. It didn't even look like there was any soil there. And so Father said to me, when I saw that plant, he said, don't you ever say that something can't grow in whatever environment they were planted in. The things which are impossible for men are possible with me. And he said, I'll tend it. And in fact, we had gone to the Columbian ice fields the next day, and the lady that was giving us a tour said, if you saw a little pink flower with their conditions growing that far north, it may have taken 25 years for that little plant to get a flower. And yet, Father said to me, that's how much I'll care that no matter how harsh the conditions are for where you were maybe grew up and were planted, I can change the soil. I can make it organic. I can build soil with whatever the natural things are that have happened in your life. I can make it so you can grow wherever you happen to have started. And I can make it into a good place for you to grow. I know exactly what you need, and I know exactly how to get you there. This is not about us trying to figure out, or God, just get me out of here. Transplant me. No, it's like bloom where you're planted. And he's just going to make it richer and he will provide what you need. He is the supreme gardener who knows exactly what we need. And so he may direct you to the word to get certain nutrients, whether it's reading more scriptures about love or mercy or grace or whatever it is that he may want you to know. But the bottom line, I am convinced if you will allow your roots to go down deep into his love, he'll take care of the rest. Because Jesus said he was the root of Jesse. He is the one that goes down deep into the love of the Father and the love of God. It's the love. The roots are the ones that take up everything that we need and to be fed by. In the Passion Translation, Ephesians 3:17 says, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. How many of us can simply rest and let his love become what we need? Will we allow ourselves to simply be rooted and grounded in love and know that's the place where it's secure? When a tree or a plant has a secure root system, guess what? It can handle a lot of different things. The deeper our roots go, the more we can enjoy the depths of His love. If you see a tree that hasn't had any rain for a while, but guess what? If it's got deep roots, it'll survive for a very long time. Why? Because it's drinking from what's being sustained from down below. It's not what's on the surface. And that's what we all need to develop. Love is the good soil for growth, and Father wants us to have healthy roots that will take up every good nutrient that Father has for us. He gave me a couple of verses, which I'm just going to give you for thoughts that you might want to look up at some point. Father always planned for us to be sustained by Him, and He gives us a couple of examples of trees. In Psalm 1, 2, and 3, it talks about us being like trees planted by the rivers of water. He's the river of life, so why not be a tree by Him? You know, Isaiah 61, verse 3, He likens us to trees of righteousness. So a little acorn, pretty small one, starts out, but by the time it gets big, an oak tree gets really big. So if we just continue to allow ourselves to drink from Him, we're going to grow. And the other one is Ezekiel 47, 12. And it talks about there are trees that are along the bank of the river that bear fruit every month. I'm convinced that the more we drink of Him, the more we allow ourselves to receive from Him, the better we're going to be at flourishing, at being relationally, intimately, and organic connected with Him. And therefore, we're going to bear the fruit that's effortless. Living in, abiding, and staying home in Jesus, the vine, will cause us to flourish and grow. So my bottom line to each of you is, yield, get in alignment, open your heart to receive, and simply let Him do the rest. He is all, and He wants to be in all of your life. You choose whether you're going to let Him do it or whether you're going to try and do it yourself. But I'm convinced that you're going to be some beautiful fruit trees, some wonderful plants, growing and reflecting His goodness in all that you do as you can simply rest in that love and allow Him to be everything. So with that, I'm just going to offer a short prayer as we close. Father, I thank You for this night. I thank You for this time. And Lord, I pray for all those that are joining us here, other places, and we'll listen to this later, that You would just continue to reveal what You would have them do to simply put themselves in a position to receive more of what You have. It may simply be letting go of something that's gotten them out of alignment so that they can receive more fully Your love. It's them choosing to say yes rather than trying to do something themselves, to no longer be a self-contained power source that they really were never meant to be. So, Father, I thank You for just drawing each one to Yourself as they choose to say yes to You. And may each of us allow You to be the one that brings the growth that changes us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.